Welcome to the My Walk, My Way podcast.
They wanted to take away my darkness,
but that will take away my light.
They wanted to take away my darkness,
but I've learned to make it mine. I learned to love it over time.
I've learned to make my shadow shine.
I hope you're enjoying the My Walk, My Way podcast. If you are, make sure that you subscribe so you always know when a new episode is coming out, and leave us a review. It helps other people to find out about the podcast. If you'd like to keep the conversation going, please join us on our Facebook page, the My Walk, My Way community, where we talk more about the authors, about their endotypes, and about their stories. That's also where you can ask questions about your endotype. If you don't know yet what your endotype is, go to the My Walk, My Way website. Both links are in the show notes below. And take the simple 5-question assessment to find out what your endotype is, which author you're most like, and download the free resource guide that helps you understand more about how you work. It helps you start to move through fear so that you can do your walk your way. And if you're part of a book club, we invite you to make My Walk, My Way part of the books you consider this year. And we have included a book club guide on our website. Oh, you guys are in for a treat today. Today, I am talking with Mindy Wilson, who is just such a kind-hearted, amazing author. She's an author, a mom, and a para-educator, working with children who have some additional needs inside of school. And we are talking today about her chapter in My Walk, My Way, creating that masterpiece. And it's called A Masterpiece in the End. What I loved about Mindy's chapter is the way she wrote her chapter, utilizing colors and vivid representation of the life changes that she went through. It was so descriptive in a visceral and visual way of the change she had in her life. And we'll talk more about that change she had in her life. Trigger warning for this episode, we do talk about domestic violence. Mindy did leave a domestic violence situation. And we kind of dig into that and talk about, right, like, what it's like from the inside looking out and some of the support or how you, if you've never been in a circumstance like that, can support other people who have been in a circumstance like that. We also talk a little bit about the book that Mindy just released. Not only is she an author in My Walk, My Way, but she also just wrote a book, Jane Leaps Through Headaches, which is available on Amazon. And you can connect with Mindy at her page, thedragonflyeffect.net. And that link will be in the show notes. I hope you enjoy as much as I did. Okay, here we go. Mindy, thank you so much for being on this episode of the podcast with us.
No, thank you for having me. I'm super excited. This is fun.
Awesome. 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 So your chapter of the book is called A Masterpiece in the End. And in that book, or in that chapter, you discuss a little bit about leaving domestic violence. And this is super difficult, I know. I've experienced it myself. I've experienced domestic violence myself, and I've watched others, people and women in my life who have experienced that also. How did you find the courage and the independence to be able to leave?
Okay, so So I've thought about this, and I think the biggest thing for me, I mean, two factors really. I think it was by finally being done with covering my ex and putting on that fake happy mask. Like, I just couldn't do it anymore. And I think just opening up to people, like family that didn't know a lot, because I did keep a lot of it secret out of fear of what would happen to me or my kids. So just opening up and being like, I don't care. Like I don't care. Like, I can't hide the truth anymore. I can't cover anymore. People are starting to be like, something's wrong. What's going on? And so I think opening up was a big part of it. And finding another part of it was finding a good therapist that wasn't like, just hold hands, that took the time to listen to me. And I do remember with him, there was one meeting, I think it was like the third meeting in, but he didn't push me, he nudged me, but he did tell me that it was my decision to leave or to stay. But he couldn't help me fully until I made that decision. So that was, it was like, oh yeah, like I have to make that choice to leave or to stay and not be on the fence anymore. Because what I knew what was going on was wrong. I just had little kids, so I didn't want to break up the family.
Yeah.
And then I think the next session I went to with my therapist, he said, the next time you come in, I'm going to know what your decision is. If you come alone or if you come with what is now my ex. So, I mean, I guess I my feet were to the fire.
Sure.
If I really wanted help, then I had to do what I knew I needed to do for 12 years.
Yeah. Well, and I remember when I was in, I didn't know that my relationship was a very controlling relationship at a specific point. I knew it was stressful. That's what I called it, stressful. I didn't see it for what it was. And I would have people who, when I would share some of my frustrations, some of my concerns, whatever it would be, they'd be like, why don't you just leave?
Yeah, that's a huge one. I have to say that's huge. I guess mine was kind of the opposite. It wasn't like, why don't you leave? It was, well, do something to fix it. And was like, I'm trying, I'm going to therapy. Like, I'm calling the domestic violence hotline. Like, I'm doing everything I can, but it's not fixing what I know deep down, like, is wrong. Cause I didn't fully knew either. There was a lot of gaslighting, and manipulation early on to keep me in the fog, in control and all that. But
right. And that for me too, when people would go, why don't you just leave then? You know, I have a very strong belief in that commitment that I made. I know you and I share this because we've talked about it before. The commitment that I made to my marriage, I had a very strong commitment to. So when people would go, well, why don't you just leave? It wasn't helpful.
Yeah, no.
So if you know somebody, you know, or you think you might know somebody who's in, you know, these listeners that are listening to this, who might be in a situation that is very unhealthy, saying something like that maybe isn't the most helpful thing for people to say. I also had people in my life who would just be there and listen.
Mm-hmm.
And that was better. That was better. In that, right, I could at least get these things out, but they didn't have any feedback or any, right? I think if somebody had said, I just want you to know that no matter what we what you choose to do with this relationship, we're always going to be here for you.
Yeah.
And if you ever don't feel safe, that's not okay.
Yeah.
Because I don't think I was asking myself that question of whether or not I felt safe at the time. Because the challenge that I had in my relationship, it ended in physical escalation. But it wasn't physical escalation the whole time. It was a lot of financial control, emotional manipulation. And was there a threat of physical escalation? Always. There was always this threat of physical escalation that I didn't realize wasn't just normal.
Yeah. Well, because you're in survival mode, that was like survival, like that was what you were just saying. That was my normal, like, like deep down there was a seed. I knew, like, I knew something was wrong, but I'm like, well, maybe this is just how other people live. And I am overreacting or like really being a bad wife or, like you hit it on the head.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, in having this discussion here, you know, I want to be able to share your story of survival with those who are thinking about leaving or maybe who have left. But I also want for those everybody else to kind of know what is helpful, what isn't helpful from your perspective, from my perspective, because I know there's a lot of friends and family that end up out there going, ugh, what could I have done different kind of thing. So
I think I have to say something on that. Think it's support. I remember on New Year's Eve, I just like broke down because I said something to my little sister and she was like, Mindy, like that is, you're experiencing like marital rape and like all this stuff. And I don't remember the word that I said to her, but I think somebody just being like, like maybe like validation and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Helped a lot.
Yep. Yeah. The other thing that I have shared now since leaving myself was this story of, I called it stress. You know, I have told this story to multiple people and been able to talk to people who have been experiencing who have just since left. And one of the things that I tell them was while I was in fear, I didn't know it was fear. Because that's not even right. Because it wasn't afraid always.
No, there's good times. And this is the other misconception that we have to debunk. Like it's not always 24/7. Because I've had that come up a lot to you with sharing my story. Like, well, I mean, there were right a few good times. I have kids, but so it wasn't 24/7. It's just when it was bad, it was really bad.
Right. And just because the other thing that I have heard as people go through it and especially family members who are learning about this for the first time and whatever, and it's kind of like a shock, like I've never seen that before.
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Very common, because that person doesn't show that behavior to everyone.
Yeah,
they ultimately know that behavior is not okay, so they reserve it for people who they believe aren't gonna tell.
Yeah, which is the empathetic people. That's part of my endotype. Right, the harmonizer.
Yeah.
The kind of like quiet ones. Yeah, that wanna just make everything work.
Well, and it's been. It's kind of like erosion or a slow drifting. right? Mm-hmm. So if you're in a canoe, right, like out in the middle of the lake, or in a kayak out in the middle of the lake, and you're just enjoying a nice day, there's a little breeze on the lake, that's fine. You're just enjoying the nice day. You kind of fishing, or you tip your head back and you're just soaking in some rays. All of a sudden you look up and you're way further away from that spot where you started, because you've been drifting. It didn't feel like you were moving. It didn't feel like anything was changing, but you've drifted a long ways away from your original spot. In a relationship that is going in that abusive direction, you can speak to this, being the person who is being abused. It didn't start, like, if it went from day one, sweetheart, kisses, hugs, to day, like, the worst act, both of us would have said, get the heck out of here. Like, right?
No, dude. Yeah. No, it starts very slow. This is why I also wrote in my chapter a little bit, like, right? Like the love bombing, like that was good, but it slowly turned into like, you can't go get laundry yourself without me, or like jealousy or things like that. It starts out slow enough to kind of numb you.
And there even seems to be good reasons behind it. You know, it's like, well, I'm the primary earner of the family.
Okay, yes, that was the number one in mine. Well, yeah, I'm the earner, so you have to listen to what I say.
Right, and I get to do what I want with that money.
Yep.
A lot of times, you know, I'm kind of Midwest, and I know that you and I have shared this, that we both have a background in more of a conservative religious faith, and a traditional religious faith. And so for me, like the terminology head of the household, right? Like, I'm the head of the household. Yeah. I get to make these demands and these choices. That was another thing that was frequently used. And it was like, and at first it's like, well, yeah, but I'm going to make this decision because I'm the head of the household. That seemed reasonable.
Yeah.
But then the decisions that they started to make were much more severe, much more damaging, much more, right? And it's that slow escalation where I called it stress. I was in a stressful relationship. And what it really was, and I didn't realize it until after he had been out of the house for a period of time, is every day my kids and I walked in fear.
Yeah. Yeah. No,
fear of making him mad.
Yeah. I think I didn't realize it until I started to like take temp jobs, because I got an associate's degree before I was married in dental assisting. So when I said yes to like opportunities like that finally, like, and I was away from the home like 24/7, or like I said yes to going to a work party, I think then I realized like, oh, like, wait a minute, like the fog is lifting a little bit. Like, yeah. So
you also discussed in your book, and you've already mentioned here, that you have children. How did they influence your choices?
They influenced, a lot of my choices. I looked to them first. So when it goes to like getting out, like I think I just started to realize, like, they're not seeing like a happy mom. Like I'm there physically, but mentally I was not, like emotionally I was not. And I could see it, like, and it was hard. So I think by looking at their faces, like towards the end, day in and day out, helped me recognize too what I needed to do. But
yeah,
they've influenced, like, I don't know, they influence everything I everything I do. Yeah. Like with work, and that was part of my chapter two, getting on the same schedule with work as like their school schedule, so I could still be there for them, because I knew right, leaving time would automatically be taken away from me. So getting on the same schedule with them so I could still work and try and provide, but still have time to be there for them. So that influenced kind of direction I took towards the job, and not working the 40 crazy hours and not seeing my kids, which has turned into like a job that I love, and that I'm going to school for. So
yeah. Yeah. And it kind of works out that way. Yeah. One of the things that I knew and information that I had, but I think this would have been another thing that if people had continued to bring to my attention, right, is that children who are raised in a home where there's any kind of emotional, financial, sexual, physical abuse are more likely to go on to either experience that or perpetrate that in their future relationships. One of the books in our, or one of the chapters in our book, talks about breaking generational trauma around something else. But that's another thing, right? If because in those circumstances, sometimes we don't want it enough for we've been pushed down so far.
Yeah.
That we don't want it enough for ourselves, or there's so many things getting in our own way, but we can lean forward for our children and stretch for our kids.
Yeah, no, I wanted different. And I knew that. And I also, in regards to what you were just saying about, they're more likely to, if you grow up in home, they're more likely to do that. Like behind the scenes, like secretly at night, like I would research up stuff like that, and mostly like towards the end. Yeah. And it kind of helps like awaken you a little bit. Cause I'm like, the last thing I want is for them to do that just cause they don't know any different or right. See any different.
So speaking of those feelings kind of behind the scenes, one of the things with your endotype, the harmonizer, sometimes the harmonizer struggles with feelings of being disconnected from others, like you're separate or unlovable. Has that shown up for you in your life or potentially in this situation? How did that show up?
Yeah, it definitely showed up. This is why I like taking the quiz, because I'm like, I think I've felt that my whole life, like in elementary school. I had trouble with like speech, like I was a little different. I was super quiet. So it was hard to make friends. Like I never felt like I fit into like a group or anything. And it kind of went through into high school because I was quiet or because my religion, like I was just different. Mm-hmm. I didn't fit in. I didn't have a group. And then I think moving out to Utah and going into like college life, and like I just wasn't the popular one. So I didn't fit in.
Yep.
So I felt like I've never have found my group, like my tribe, my people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that heart connection that is such a big craving for harmonizers is just something that they don't often feel. And then the other part for every harmonizer is that feeling of belonging. So I think we're talking, as you're commenting, we're talking about both this heart connection of love for a harmonizer that lives kind of at their young child space. But for a harmonizer, that parent space connects to worrying about whether or not you belong, your community, your family, your physical environment. And so it's kind of this, right? It's a double thing that's playing. We don't feel like we can, or we're afraid to kind of connect at that heart level sometimes with people and feel a little disconnected there. And then also worry, am I belonging? Am I fitting in? Is this me fitting in?
And yeah, knowing. No, it's two sides of the coin.
Yep.
Kind of with us.
Yep. And knowing that that part that's always questioning whether or not for a harmonizer specifically, so this comment doesn't apply across all the endotypes, it applies to yours, but for a harmonizer, that part that's always looking for belonging is the part that's trying to advise you on your path. So very often when you hear that internal monologue questioning whether or not you belong here, the great thing to do for a harmonizer is to stop and go, maybe I don't belong here, not because of me.
Yeah.
But maybe this isn't my, like, are these really my people?
Yeah.
And if these aren't my people,
who is my people?
Right. Like, maybe I need to go find them because they exist someplace else. And there's always going to be, for a harmonizer and for the harmonizer endotype, there's always going to be this a little bit of a feeling of otherness just because of the makeup of a harmonizer. And yet, I mean, I think at this point you've started to find, and maybe you can speak to a little bit, you've started to find some places where you do feel like you fit in.
Yeah, no, I have. So I have. I belong with writers and speakers and authors. That's, and it, I'm 36, so it took a while. but yeah, like I can go into a room with anybody with that background and just feel like so at ease. And I don't know, there's something different, like that I haven't felt like my entire life, like trying to find a group and stuff. And I found it out this last year just by listening to that intuition part of me, and saying yes when I took a motivational speaking course. Like, I didn't know why, but right, my intuition was like, oh, you should do this, Mindy. I didn't know I was going to end up writing like a children's book, or go to conferences, and meet other people that thought like me. So I have found it, and it's nice because it's the one place I can say I feel like I belong.
Nice. And I know for harmonizers and for all of us, it does take a little bit of some maturity, right? So it doesn't surprise me that it's, you know, you're in your 30s as you're finding that, potentially even into your 40s. And for a lot of harmonizers, it's not always, you know, I don't want other harmonizers to hear this and go, oh, now I have to go find some authors and speakers. But I know a harmonizer who is a musician, and music people are her people. I know another one who is a singer and voice actor, and those are her people. And another who is a photographer and graphic designer, and she prefers to be around the creative, you know, photographers and other people. So it's not that there's no people out there. There's not, you know, or individuals. It's just keep looking. When you're having those questionings, just keep looking.
Yeah. No, I promise they're there somewhere.
Yes. And so you had brought up your intuition. For a harmonizer, part of their genius is intuition, having a vision, planning for the future, trusting your inner knowing. How have you used that in your life?
So I've always been a planner. I have like 3 books now between work, school, life, book stuff. So I use it on a daily basis, I think, just without knowing that I'm doing it. And intuition is an interesting thing. Like, I listen to it, and that's where some of the, where people are like, oh, well, you're just doing things just to do them, or they don't kind of get that creative side where I belong. So I think I listen to it, and then doing my walk my way, like I choose to listen to that first over other noise.
Yeah. Yes, because that inner guidance, if it as part of your genius, is so finely tuned for yourself and for others, or can be finely tuned, you know, once you start utilizing it and trusting it. You and I, right, in our relationship, we were not so good with that, but we've gotten better now. And to other people, our choices, and this is true for all endotypes, our mm-hmm. choices may not make sense. And we have been raised in a culture that compares all the time. Yeah. And that says, this is the right way to go. And that's why we wrote the My Walk, My Way book, right? Is to end that comparison and that following of all the other experts, and to really start understanding, how do you work? What's your endotype? And to empower people to make their own choices and decisions. So,
So
congratulations on really starting to find that path for yourself. I think that's great.
If I didn't listen to intuition, mm-hmm. I wouldn't have written this chapter. I wouldn't have written my children's book.
Yeah. And I know you got more stuff brewing and coming forward out of you. So that's fantastic. The hero part of your endotype helps other people feel like they are worthy or feel like they are valued or enough. And yet, that can be a part that's hard for us to apply to ourselves, the hero, whatever is attached to the hero. So for you, how have you trained your hero part to believe that you were good enough and valued and valuable too?
Okay. So I think I've just been like my own number one for so long. I'm just so used to it. But I like to listen to motivational speaking tapes and videos and stuff like that. A lot of mindfulness goes into play with me. Positive self-talk is huge. I try and do that on a daily basis. And just uplifting quotes and stuff like that is, I think, how I've kind of done it for me.
Yeah. That's awesome. Well, what are you, so you mentioned a children's book and we want to hear about that, but, and anything else that you're up to these days or doing next?
So right now my focus is on my children's book. Mm-hmm. It is available on Amazon right now. So that's exciting. And I'm planning my launch party for the end of next month. So just getting that out there and Jane's story.
Tell us the name of the book.
Okay, so the name of the book is Jane Leaps Through Headaches.
Awesome. And the premise behind it?
So my daughter has suffered from pediatric migraines since she was 4. So she's kind of the inspiration behind it. But it just follows Jane pursuing her passion for gymnastics, even though she suffers from chronic migraines. And it can be a daily battle, but she still finds a way to do what she wants to do, with the help, of course, of family and different tricks, water, oils, chiropractic care. Mm-hmm. To do competitive gymnastics. So
it sounds like this is a really good book for obviously children who experience migraines or families of children who experience migraines, but even who experience other of those unseen kind of illnesses or challenges, and could even be useful in a classroom setting, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, no, I've had some teachers get some already, and they love it in their class and to read to students. So,
yeah.
And it doesn't have to be headaches or migraines. I think, any unseen illness Because there's a lot that kids go through.
Yeah.
That this book could just be beneficial to encourage, if nothing else, to still keep going and doing things, and don't be wrapped in a bubble. Like, you'll be okay. Keep going for it.
Yep. And those of us who want to raise children who understand diversity, not just diversity usually goes towards, right, like racial diversity, and absolutely, but there's so many different layers to diversity, and understanding children who have different challenges than we do, and especially, right, it's easy for kids to understand a child who's in a wheelchair or maybe uses another physical tool to overcome their difference. But when they look absolutely the same, we as parents need to be helping our children to understand they may look the same, but they may not be the same. And so adding Jane and Jane's story to our home libraries, I could see being a really positive tool for raising children right now.
Glad you brought it up, because that was, that's the first page in the book. Jane feeling different with the water bottle on her desk. As kids just don't understand in elementary. So I think it's our job as caregivers or parents to be like, there's different ways, kids are different, and kind of explore that besides race or other stuff.
So if people want to for the book, for Jane, we're going to put a link to Jane in the show notes. But if people want to see the book or get a hold of you, where can they stay connected with you?
So I'm on Instagram and Facebook, but my, you can email or you can go to my website. So my website is thedragonflyeffect.net. And you can also purchase that book and the other one, from my chapter on that website too, and get updates and stuff like that. And then you can also email me at minleiwil@yahoo.com and connect with me that way.
Wonderful. All right. And we will, again, those links are going to be in the show notes. So you don't have to try, those of you who are listening, don't have to try and write them down or remember them. Just open up the show notes, in your podcast, drop that down and the links will be right there. Mindy, thank you very much for being with us today and for sharing not only what you shared here, but this depth of knowledge you shared in your chapter and continuing to pursue your passion in writing and sharing other stories.
Yeah, no, thank you. Thank you for letting me be part of it. It is what I'm passionate about and what I advocate for. So thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for joining us today on this episode of My Walk My Way. To not miss an episode, please go to wherever you get your podcasts and hit that subscribe button. While you're there, it really helps us out a lot if you leave a review. To pick up a copy of the My Walk My Way book, you can get that wherever books are sold and order that. And on our mywalkmyway.com website, you can find special gifts that help you understand your endotype just a little bit better. I can't go today before I give special thanks to the band Gin, Chocolate, and Bottle Rockets for allowing us to use this beautiful music from their song Shine. Check them out. The rest of their music is great too.
Doesn't make my shadow.